Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone to the gospel meeting that's here. I know that there's been some invitations given out in the community, and if you've arrived from the community, welcome. And just might say, from Iowa, it's a one-hour time difference. Wake up a little earlier. Unbeknownst to my wife and I, we had both woken up a little earlier this morning, and the same burden was laid on both of our hearts this morning, and we shared it with each other later and found out that we were in common thought. But there are children of the saints who do not yet know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, who have heard the gospel many times over and over again. And as a result of putting it off, not paying attention to the gospel message, there's a term that sometimes is used, and this is what it means. It's called gospel hardened. And the feeling was, is perhaps there are those here in this room who have heard the gospel many, many times and have not yet yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure you know, kids, you're interested in experiments. Please don't try this. But if you put a frog on a hot plate and you turn the temperature up very, very slowly, that frog will stay there until it's cooked solid. If you toss a frog on when it's hot, they hop right off. But sometimes I think that the children hear the gospel message over and over again and put it off and put it off. And it's sad to think that a boy or girl who sat in gospel meetings all their life until the Lord Jesus came and they were left behind, were left behind for judgment. What a solemn thought. So we had before us in the reading meetings Hebrews chapter 4. Let's Mike turn there for a couple of opening scriptures. In regard to having heard the gospel over and over again and putting it off, verse 12 says that the word of God is sharp, or quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the discerner of and is of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hope you realize that, sitting in this gospel meeting this evening, all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And God can see right into your heart, and he knows every thought and every motive. But he wants to bless you. He wants to bring you into blessing. The end of verse 2 says, the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. It's our desire that you will hear the word of God with faith this evening. That faith might be in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. The end of verse 7, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Let's sing in our little gospel hymn book here, number 6. God in mercy sent his Son to a world by sin undone. Jesus Christ was crucified. 'Twas for sinners Jesus died. Let's sing number 6 together. God in mercy sent his Son.
Jesus Christ was crucified.
bow our heads and ask the Lord for his help as we spend these next few moments together. Our blessed God and loving Father, we just give thee thanks for the Lord Jesus, that one who is light and love, and we thank thee, our blessed Savior, that thou didst come down here into this scene for poor, guilty, lost sinners like ourselves, to bring us into that love and grace and to make us thine own. Lord Jesus, our concern is that there may be a boy or a girl or an older one in the audience here this evening who have not yet come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And if the Lord Jesus, if thou were to return tonight before this meeting is over, they would be left behind. Our concern, Lord Jesus, is that they would come to know thee as their Savior, that they might not be left for judgment. We think of so many in this room that have heard the gospel message over and over again, and yet perhaps have not come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior personally. We think of the children who have memorized Sunday school verses and know them well, and yet have not taken them to heart and conscience before thee. We just pray for such and ask thy help that the Spirit of God would take the Word of God and make it good to such this evening for the salvation of their souls. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
I'm going to use verses this evening with the Lord's help that you kids already know, that you've memorized in the Sunday school class and probably spoken them freely and very well. But it's on my heart that the Word is in your heart, that you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. How many of you know Isaiah 53:6? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You believe it? All we, every one of us, have gone astray. Think that you can get by because you've kept your room clean. Take your shoes off at the door. Say your verse nice. But you've never ask the Lord Jesus to be your Savior. You haven't yet understood that God laid on his beloved Son the punishment for your sins personally. And you haven't come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. What a solemn thing that is. You know, in Job chapter 22, I believe it's verse 21, and we read these words. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Acquaint now, right now, in your seat, right where you're sitting, acquaint now thyself. Not the one next to you, don't worry about them. God is speaking to your soul. Acquaint now thyself with him. You don't have peace if you don't know the Lord Jesus. And that's what he wants to give you. And be at peace. Try it. Simply come in faith to the Lord Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. Boys and girls, you've heard this in the Sunday school class. You can tell your friends all about it, but have you personally come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? You know, death is a solemn thing. We don't know when we will leave this world. We don't know when the Lord might come. There's things that we don't know. Proverbs 27, in verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. A couple of months ago, I was doing my regular duties, drive a truck, and we have a CB radio that's on a certain frequency that only the people that work for our company can hear the conversations. And the drivers on a certain road were warned about a traffic accident that had taken place and that they should choose another route. Come to find out, it was only about a mile out of Pella on Highway 163. A semi had ran into the back of a crop sprayer on the highway. It was a fatality. Do you think that truck driver got up in the morning and said, you know, today I'm going to be traveling 65 miles an hour in my truck down the highway and I'm going to plow into the back of a chemical sprayer that's only traveling 17 miles an hour in the lane in front of me? We don't know what distracted him or why he did it, but he's in eternity, in a moment, in eternity. We don't know. There's a place that I deliver a container to. It's a food processing place, and every morning about the same time, come around the same route. And there's a grassy area, some nice trees, kind of a park-like area off to the side, and then some commercial buildings and a sidewalk down there. And just the way my time schedule goes over the last 2 years, saw a man with a backpack every day, pretty much every day, walking through that park, down the sidewalk, looked like he was on his way to work. Not an old man, probably in his 30s. A few weeks ago, I came around the corner to turn up that street. There was a police car on the side of the road. A policeman was standing by the body of a man laying on the sidewalk. It was that man that I had seen walk through the park and down that sidewalk morning after morning. He was in eternity. He was found there. Don't know what took him, health reasons, what? Don't know. The police officer was getting some officials to take care of him. There he was, laying face down on the sidewalk. How many of you boys and girls walked on the sidewalk today? We don't know what the next moment holds. It's so important to be ready. So important to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. James chapter 4. Question, the middle of verse 14. For what is your life? What is your life? You're young. What is your life? You think you have a bright future? Plans? Maybe so. What does the Word of God say? It's only a vapor. It's only a vapor. Talk to some of the oldest in the room here, and they'll tell you it's only a vapor. It's only a vapor. What are you doing with your life? Are you letting days, weeks, months roll by, years without knowing Christ as your Savior, and you've heard the gospel over and over again? I hope it's not another minute that you go without trusting Christ as your Savior. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 27, it is appointed unto men once to die. We all have an appointment with death. We don't know when it is. The Word of God tells us that our Savior is coming. This afternoon we were told of those who were told to wait for the Lord's coming. The rest of the verse says, but after this a judgment. That's a solemn part of the verse, isn't it? After this is the judgment. Let me ask you how it is, how it'll be with you in the judgment. If you drew your last breath, how would it be? How would it be when the books are open? Would they find your name in there saying, this one gave their heart to the Lord Jesus, confessed Christ as our Savior? This one is in the book of life. Is your name not going to be found there? You're going to be one of those that knock and say, Lord, Lord, open. I knew all the memory verses. No. You know the rest of this chapter too, I'm sure. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. You know, he went to Calvary's cross for you, for me. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Are you looking for the Lord Jesus to come? I am. Why? Why am I looking for the Lord Jesus to come? Because he's my Savior. I know him as my Savior. And when he comes, I will go to be with him. I'm one of his children. How about you? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Have you come to him in faith, just simple faith? 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 15, what I'm looking for. And verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. Maybe you kids all know this already, but do you understand it? You understand that Christ died for our sins? Do you understand that he was buried and that he rose again the third day? You know, that's very important, isn't it? If the Lord Jesus would have remained in the grave, he couldn't be your Savior and my Savior, but he rose again, and he's my Savior. And he lives on high in the glory. We had some this afternoon about what he's doing there in the reading meeting. He's a great high priest and so on. But there's one thing in particular we want to talk about here. He's waiting. He's waiting for the Father to say, go get your bride. Are you going to be part of that number? When the Lord Jesus comes to claim his own, he's risen, he's glorified, and he's coming back. Is he your Savior? Second Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Sure, you've heard this before, but have you made it your own? You need the new life in Christ You need that which He has provided on Calvary's cross by the putting away of our sins. In the last verse of this chapter, it says, "For He, God, hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Kids, do you know how that happened? The Lord Jesus was rejected and cast out. Men who despised Him because He reached their conscience nailed Him to a cross. And there they poured out their hatred towards Him. But then God, in 3 hours of darkness, poured onto the blessed head of the Holy Son of God every sin that was due unto you and me to pay in eternity. You know, we think about those 3 hours of darkness too lightly. We think about the judgment, I'm afraid, that the Lord Jesus bore on the cross too lightly. What do you think I deserve for my sins? Just one person to spend an eternity in the lake of fire forever, compacted into 3 hours. Not just my sins, but your sins, and 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 his sins, and her sins, and his sins, and her sins, and the sins of everybody in this city, and the sins of everybody in the world, packed onto the Lord Jesus in those 3 hours of darkness, where the wrath of God for all that sin was poured on Him for our sakes. You take that lightly? You take that lightly? What the Lord Jesus endured for our sins in those 3 hours of darkness, and after bearing that storm of wrath for our sake, He cried, "It is finished." And a soldier with a spear came and pierced His side, and redeeming blood flowed from His precious side to wash our sins away. Boys and girls, on Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus didn't only pay for our sins, but He shed His precious blood that we might be redeemed. Can you think of anything more wonderful? Have you not accepted that for yourself? Have you again said, "Lord Jesus, not yet"? How sad. Oh, as you hear the word of God tonight, I pray that it is mixed with faith, that you might believe Lord Jesus Christ, He might be your Savior. I'd like to look at a couple of verses in John's Gospel that are very simple and very plain. I'm sure you kids have learned these verses before. I'd like to look at one in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and I'm going to read a little bit in the middle of verse 10. "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee." That's as far as I'm going to read. If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is. Do you know what the gift of God is? His well-beloved Son. Have you been acquainted with Him? Acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace. Thou knewest the gift of God and who it is. That man that came down from the heights of glory to be your Savior, to bear your sins, to bear my sins, what we deserved. Can you think of any greater love? And we sang in that little hymn, "God is light and God is love." There's no greater love. But I want to tell you, boys and girls, there's no greater light either. In the presence of God, may the Spirit of God convict your soul as the light of God shines on your heart. to show you that you need the Savior. May you not turn away from that light as it shines this very moment on your soul. May you come to realize that in the brightness of that light that exposes you for all that you are is the love that went clear to death to give you everlasting life. Have you considered that? Have you taken the Lord Jesus as your own? If thou knewest the gift of God, you'd have asked. This verse goes on, just ask. Simply ask. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I need you as my Savior. You know, I did that when I was 7 years old. I'm so thankful. How about you? Have you said that? Have you said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I need you to be my Savior? It's a wonderful thing. Another well-known verse, next chapter over. It's a very powerful verse, a verse that cannot be refuted in any way. The words of the Lord Jesus himself. Verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, is the word being mixed with faith right now where you are sitting? And believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. Do you have everlasting life? Can you say that? And shall not come into condemnation. Remember, we just read a verse. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. If you believe this verse, John 5:24, it says, shall not come into condemnation or judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Dear one, have you passed from death unto life this evening? You can. That is the purpose why we are holding this gospel meeting right now, is to make sure that not one of you, boys and girls, or anyone, even anyone who may hear a recording of this message, would let it go by and pass it off once again with a hard heart towards the Savior. Chapter 6. Quoted a verse out of Job, chapter 22 earlier. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. You know, to get to know somebody, get a little conversation, get acquainted with them. The Lord Jesus has done that for us in a very simple way in John's gospel. Multiple times, quite a few times, he said, I am. And then he gave a little, very simple illustration to help us understand something about him. I'm going to go over a couple of these. In John chapter 6, verse 35, in fact, Lord Jesus says it a couple times in this chapter. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Have you come to him? Have you believed on him? Or is your soul still hungry? Jesus, our Savior, wants to satisfy that hunger for you right now. Let's look at another one in the 8th chapter. 8th chapter, And verse 12, we've already spoke on this a little bit. It's good to be reminded of it. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Ask yourself, dear boy, dear girl, do you have the light of life, or are you still walking in darkness? The Lord Jesus is that light. Have you come to him? Let's go to chapter 10. We spoke a little bit about this chapter in our reading meetings as well. But we'll look at verse 9 for a simple gospel verse. Verse 9, the Lord Jesus says, I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man. We had spoken of the legal enclosure of the fold that locked the Jew in. And the Lord Jesus came to be the shepherd, the shepherd of the sheep. You know, the difference between, we heard it earlier, I believe someone mentioned this, that the flock gathers around the shepherd. A flock is mobile. A fold is attached to the earth. Those of us who know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we are a mobile unit that is moving to the glory. And our Savior is in the middle, and he is bringing us safe home. Where are you? Where are you? I am the door. By me, if any man, not just the Jew, the Gentile can come to, enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Where are you? Have you come through the door, the Lord Jesus? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Another one that you've had for your memory verse many times, the 14th chapter. Lord Jesus says here in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know that verse. You've memorized it. Do you know that the Lord Jesus for yourself was the way to the Father? Do you know that the Lord Jesus was the life from the Father and the truth about the Father? And he came to expose the heart of a loving God to you. Have you taken the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Romans chapter 10. Another verse you've had in your Sunday school many times. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Yes, when you were standing up saying your Sunday school verse, there it was in your mouth. And in thine heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's a wonderful thing that a little boy or a little girl can get a hold of, and to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. I'd like to tell a story about an old disciple we had brought before us this afternoon, about an old disciple. My mother-in-law, 91 years old, in the nursing home, she's either in a bed or in her chair or in a wheelchair. Body failing, mind failing. Lord's Day afternoon, we were there visiting her. She was laying in bed, and someone said, to 5-year-old granddaughter, be her great granddaughter. Tell grandma what you did, or tell great grandma what you did. 5-year-old little girl said to great grandma, she said, "I asked Jesus into my heart. ..91-year-old disciple laying there in bed, very mild, kind, gentle type, broke into tears, wept out loud with the confession of her grandchild confessing the Lord Jesus as her Savior. Brought such joy to her heart, she just bursted into tears and wept out loud. That's her story. Boys and girls, do you have a story? Would your story be sad? Or would your story be happy enough to make an old disciple break into tears of joy? What about the angels in heaven rejoicing over one sinner that repents? You know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. The solemn thing is the end of those who reject the Lord Jesus as their Savior. In the 8th chapter of John, I'm just going to read some of these quickly. John chapter 8 and verse 24. "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Second Corinthians chapter 6 2 Corinthians chapter 6 in the last part of verse 2. "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And I would just like to quote Job 22 again. "Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee." Sing together number 20 in our hymn sheet.
You're the
to simply say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need you to be my Savior. Dear young person, just simply say, I am a sinner. Lord Jesus, I need you to be my Savior. Dear middle-aged one, just simply say, I am a sinner. And Lord Jesus, I need you to be my Savior. Older one, just simply say, I am a sinner. And I need thee, Lord Jesus, to be my Savior. Shall we pray? Our blessed God and loving Father, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus, who came to be our Savior. And we pray that if there is someone in this room that has put him off and not yet come to him, that the Spirit of God would convict them of their deep and earnest need at this very moment, that they would come to the Lord Jesus and say, I am a sinner and I need you to be my Savior. We ask this for thy honor and glory in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.